time. Oh, for armed robbery. Oh, 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
Good evening. And welcome to Take No Prisoners. It is Sunday, June 22nd, 2008, and I just returned this week from the final Law Merchant Leadership Retreat. Folks, those of you who did not attend are not privy to just what an event this was, so maybe I can bring you up to speed rather quickly. It was truly remarkable. And remarkable because, not because of what I brought to the meeting, but because I was able to return with a wealth of information on various commercial procedures, the commercial procedures you've been trying and you're interested in, procedures that are underway or just completed, with specific information as to what's happening out there. But perhaps it was most memorable, if in fact not historical, not the least due to the attendance of one of the Montana freemen who blessed us with his presence and who graciously shared the most remarkable information, which some of which I'll be bringing forth later in this program. You do not want to miss that. In fact, throughout the program, I intend to bring forth all of that news of the commercial successes and the interesting situations that we've encountered with commercial process, and brought to you directly from those people who are in the front lines. So if you're serious about achieving genuine sovereignty amidst Satan's worshipers, you'll want to stay tuned to this program, especially for the information from the free men who revealed things from the inside that I was not aware, and I found to be truly memorable and, in fact, historical, some of which confirmed the efficacy of the procedures that we're using. The Montana Freeman situation was not what it appeared to be on the surface, which I'm sure many of you have suspected. So this will likely be the busiest program that I've ever had the honor of bringing forth. One of the attendees at the meeting just received, when I say just, I mean about a week, if my memory serves me correctly, about a week before the meeting, received a refund using the ZYA method, which was well in excess of $500,000. I'm going to avoid specific amounts and names and any other information that would lead to any untoward notoriety for those folks, for any of the folks we'll be discussing. But I'm pleased to say this was a substantial refund. Let's just say it was somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million, and I won't tell you anywhere within that range. And he is, I'm glad to say, proceeding with his ministering and assisting others and paying it forward. And that's a confirmed refund, my friends. And here's an email I received from an attendee. By the way, that was strict ZYA process. And here's an email that I received. I believe it was earlier today. I could be mistaken. And it says, Sam, I wanted to let you know that a party in our group received a check in the amount of, and this is a five-figure refund, from a 1099 OID that was sent in on some credit card statements. So when we return, my friends, we'll explore that email, a couple of others, and I have the first of a couple of very important announcements. Please stick with us.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
Well, no, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Listener, ask yourself, can I be deceived? Matthew 24 states four times in the last days that many will be deceived. There are many ideas about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. What do you know about the beast, its mark, and the Antichrist? Is the beast a superpower nation or a giant computer in Belgium? Is its mark a chip implant, a tattoo, the national ID card, or 666? Is the Antichrist a person, title, or both? Is the beast and the Antichrist one and the same? Some believe all this is yet future. Others believe that it is in the past. 1 John states that the Antichrist is already in the world. What is the truth and what is a lie? Are you willing to search God's Word for the truth? Friends, all these answers are in the Bible. For free books, DVDs, and Bible studies exposing the Antichrist, the beast, and its mark, write The Bible Says, Box 99, Lenore City, Tennessee, 37771, or call 1-888-211-1715, 1-888-211-1715. Please remember to mention you are from RBN.
The boogie train, it's a boogie thing. Oh, it's a boogie thing. It's a boogie thing. Boogie all night long.
Welcome back, my friends. Before we get back to this email, which I'm sure all of you will find interesting, I have an announcement you might want to mark on your calendars. Next week, right here, on Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Eastern Daylight Time for you purists out there, I'll have the pleasure and the honor of interviewing Tom Schultz, who most of you know, but those who don't, let me just tell you, you don't want to miss this interview. Tom will be sharing with us his unique outlook on commercial process. Tom is an originator of ZYA, by the way, and his insight into scripture, and we're going to coax a couple of stories from Tom out of the unique events that have peppered his life, events which reflect his fearlessness and his willingness to engage the United States as a living man. You don't want to miss it, so mark it down on your calendars, my friends. Also, while we're on the subject of Tom, many of you probably are aware that there is a BIC Study Club Beginners Workshop being held in Las Vegas on July 28th through August 1st. I'm not affiliated with the BIC Study Club. I have nothing whatsoever to do with the BIC Study Club other than I appreciate the work that they do, and I admire the mentors who are in that group for their skill, their honesty, and their dedication to the cause, and even more so their perseverance, their tenaciousness in sticking with cases. You could not do better than to be mentored by those folks. And I suggest if you need your skills honed, or I've been told the purpose of the workshop is to actually have you work on your paperwork hands-on for the 5 days while they proctor and mentor, then that's the place you need to be. That would be Las Vegas. I know Las Vegas isn't Albany, my friends, but you'll have to live with it. Las Vegas, July 28th through August 1st. That's the BIC Study Club, and you can contact them at info@bicstudyclub.org. And the reason I raise that issue now is because Tom Schultz will be attending that meeting, and he'll be a primary resource for the proctoring. So this is a unique opportunity, and you may want to put that in your calendars. Certainly if you have the time, the resources, and you're smart enough to do it, then that's the place you'd like to be at the end of July. Anyway, this email said to me, Sam, I wanted to let you know that a party in our group received a check in the amount of, and then they specified a five-figure amount, from a 1099 OID that was sent on some credit card statements. So that was a 1099 OID involving the return of credit for some credit card bills. They deducted about X thousand of dollars in taxes, as they said that the taxpayer had made an error on the return, not deducting the tax, and the mentor said, I'll send you a copy of the check. Now understand, that means that they audited that return and they made adjustments and they approved it. This is no mistake refund. Do not expect them to be coming to the doors of these refundees and posting notices on the doors. I've seen that. Someone sent me an email about that I read today. Excuse me. I've just started to catch up on my email traffic, and some of the people with me are catching up. I remember a case maybe 7-8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, where a party was given a big refund, and they showed up at the door same day and put a notice on the door, we want it back. And then they intimidated him and his wife with all of the standard tactics. Well, that was pre-ZYA. That was, in his case, pre-understanding what he was doing. And I suggest to you, if it's a concern that someone comes to your door and asks you for your money again, that you shouldn't be doing a process like that. You need to really understand it and anticipate what the possible outcomes or at least tests might be. Let me give you a test that no one saw coming. We had someone at the conference who checked their refund on the IRS website, right on the left column, the link column, it says, where's my refund? And it referred him to call a phone number, which he did. And when he called, the gal acted surprised. And she said, are you an authorized representative? And he said, yes, it just so happens I am. Well, do you have a power of attorney? No, I don't. Do you have a CAF number? That would be an assigned number if you submitted their power of attorney form. And he said, no. She said, well, this is strange because I'm showing you as being dead. And he said that, and I found it quite amusing. What's the first thought that entered your head when I just said that? What would you do if you were told that the straw party was dead? I know what I would do. You remember that scene in L.A. Law maybe 20 years ago where the young hotshot Harvard-trained African-American attorney joins a firm, and he's really sharp, and he's in court with, I think the fellow's name was Mike, the accountant attorney, and the client has a heart attack and collapses, and while he's on the floor, this young hotshot attorney stands up is a fine actor, too, and he stood up and he looked the part and he said something like, I'm putting in a motion for a mistrial because his client was lying on the floor dying, or for on some grounds that he came up with. Well, that's sort of what this situation was like. You should hear something like that, and the motions, the moves to take should enter your mind. And the first move that entered my mind was, oh, ma'am, would you be able to send me a statement to that effect? Because I'm taking that right to the life insurance company if I have a life insurance company. There's so many things that one could do with that. But we had a good laugh about it at the meeting. Someone else was due a large refund, let's just say close to seven figures, and that was changed to a message on the IRS site that said, please call. And that call was made, and it wasn't that the straw party is dead, because certainly one tactic that had not been anticipated would be, and this is something I would consider doing if I was in the place of the fiction government and I had any influence over IRS, kill off the straw party. Because if you kill off the straw party, what happens? Every one of those 1099 OIDs becomes abandoned funds, which IRS gets to keep. So if I knew that the straw party was killed off, well, first of all, if I wanted to be back in commerce, I'd apply for another, with another SS5. Imagine that, going back in, folks. Or I might file for a 1099A on behalf of that straw party by the family. Or I might file, there's a set of treasury documents, I won't give you the numbers over the air, but there's a set of treasury documents where you're entitled to the estate of the deceased taxpayer. So there's many ways one might handle a situation like that, but it certainly would be a great learning experience for anyone who just found out that they were dead. It could be one of the rumors of my death are not exaggerated. So we found that to be an interesting piece of information. Then I received another email, which I only read, I believe, today, perhaps last night. It all blends together. It says, Sam, we received and it gives us the tax year, audit letter stating that a six-figure amount, well, let's say, for argument's sake, let's call it $250,000, was owed for, I'm going to pick a year, 1997. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that IRS did an audit without notice, and this is a routine procedure, and one can use it to one's benefit if you understand the principles of receiving bills. If instead of making up your mind that when you receive a bill, you send out hostile emails saying, my life has been ruined by Sam's OIDs, but instead you take on the attitude, oh my goodness, here's another opportunity to issue an OID and refund that portion that's being used against my credit, or that portion of my credit that is being used that I'm being billed for, then only then might you be a candidate for even considering undertaking these tax remedies. So this email goes on to say, let's give it a date, January of 2008, I mailed a ZYA filing under notary seal to the IRS, a certain office, with fiduciary copies of the process going to an agent in this party's particular state. The agent that originated and signed the original presentment for this $250,000. So in other words, he decided to do a notary process. We haven't done ZYA with notary process, but it certainly can be. On or about, March, I received another audit letter from a different agent in that same state, and that agent had assessed 100% penalty. Of course, this is where the weak turn to their emails and start sending out hysterical emails. But this fellow instead said that he proceeded to ZYA that filing as well. When we return after the break, we'll tell you how this turned out. I think you'll enjoy it. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
And thank you for joining me. My apologies if my voice sounds a little weak. I'm a little tired after this second retreat, and it's going to take a couple of weeks probably to get my full strength back. But this particular reporter went on to state that he received an audit letter from a different agent assessing him 100% penalty, which raised the liability to $500,000, approximately. I'm changing the numbers to protect the innocent. Now, folks, how many of you listening would immediately view that second audit letter as being a genuine liability? How many would have a sense of fear about them and feel their stomach churning and feel their heart seize for a moment and say, oh, my goodness, and start projecting out the liens and levies against their account and the like instead of having confidence in their procedures? If that's your mindset, then I repeat again, you should not be doing any of these tax remedies because you are not in a position to understand them adequately nor defend them appropriately. And we'll be discussing defending them very shortly, hopefully later on in this program, if not next week. And we covered that information as well at the retreat, and I think that was probably one of the most valuable sections of information that the attendees departed with. Anyway, he goes on to say that I proceeded to ZYA that second presentment. They were recently mailed under notary seal to the agent. And in this filing, I also referenced my earlier filing. That was the original ZYA filing, and included copies of all paperwork as well. It's too close time-wise for this filing to impact what I'm about to relate. And what he relates in his email is, I recently received an audit letter dated, well, somewhat recently. Copies of that letter are included here for your review. It states that due to my recent audit, so folks, they performed another audit, whether it's in their office or a computer audit or out in Ogden, wherever, but due to my recent audit, it was determined that I owe just $42.42, and that was $35 principal and $7.42 interest. The $500,000 has disappeared and shrunken to $42.42. It would appear that when this final $42.42 amount is settled via the ZYA process, that 1997 should be put to rest at long last. Well, thank goodness after 10 years. You see, when this final amount is settled via the process, this fellow will be demonstrating to, hopefully, to those he will be paying it forward to, that you don't pay these liens and levies and assessments with liability funds, that all of the fines and other notices are simply opportunities to complete the circuit by returning the paperwork made payable to Treasury and then having Treasury close the circuit by returning the funds to the source of the credit. And if you, he knows that you remain consistent to the process. If it was ZYA, then you remain in ZYA, you don't switch to 1099A, you stay true to your guns, understanding that you are the original source, the sponsor of the credit. None of what goes on in the United States could have happened without your full faith and credit. And then he added a PS. Note the addition of Henry Paulson's name with mine on the coupon sent to both of us at my home address, and I presume that's the coupon that he owes $42.42. Well, that's a pretty remarkable finding right there. Here's another case, folks. I have also attached, this is from another email, an excerpt from another email that was sent to me that I read yesterday or today. I've also attached another success story from a fellow in, and he names a state. He used the simple money order process for his mother's IRS bill. Here's the proof they adjusted the account for, and then he listed a four-figure amount. So it was under $10,000. And then he said, in a follow-up letter this week, they waived the $40 they claimed she still owed. So that's two of them, which were handled by IRS identically. They assessed the value. Once it was settled, they reassessed. And then, even without a further ZYA process, they released, at least in one of these cases, a further letter indicating that the smaller outstanding amount was settled as well. So those are just a couple of stories that I thought you might find of interest in the flesh. We had another fellow who attended, excuse me, who did something very interesting. He's heavily into sovereign procedures, and he sent his credit card company a little letter stating, that is not my name, and he corrected them on capitalization and the use of the word Mr. and all of that. And so they canceled his credit card. And so, quite cleverly, he took the notice of cancellation, and he marked it accepted for value in the amount of $25,000. And he sent it back with a simple letter that said, here it is returned accepted for value, and unless the account is reopened, I will issue a 1099 OID in that amount. And when we return from the break, my friends, I'll tell you what the outcome of that little foray was and how that could have applicability to virtually everyone listening to my voice tonight. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Listener, ask yourself, can I be deceived? Matthew 24 states four times in the last days that many will be deceived. There are many ideas about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. What do you know about the beast, its mark, and the Antichrist? Is the beast a superpower nation or a giant computer in Belgium? Is its mark a chip implant, a tattoo, the national ID card, or 666? Is the Antichrist a person, title, or both? Is the beast and the Antichrist one and the same? Some believe all this is yet future. Others believe that it is in the past. 1 John states that the Antichrist is already in the world. What is the truth and what is a lie? Are you willing to search God's Word for the truth? Friends, all these answers are in the Bible. For free books, DVDs, and Bible studies exposing the Antichrist, the beast, and its mark, write The Bible Says, Box 99, Lenore City, Tennessee, 37771, or call 1-888-211-1715, 1-888-211-1715. Please remember to mention you are from RBN.
The Perkylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perkylite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perkylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perkylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. So, one other brief announcement. Apparently, there's going to be a training course, a weekend course, for notary publics. That could be very interesting. I believe it's scheduled for the middle of August. I'll have more information for you, I presume. It may be scheduled later than that. But it should be a very interesting course for those who would like to incorporate a notary public into their group, essential there, and also for notary publics, for patriot notary publics who are seeking to gain the commercial skills and knowledge taught by the most seasoned notary in the country, who has experience in fending off inquiries and in process and in making sure that things are done properly according to statute, which is essential because a notary public is a statutory shill. And it should be an invaluable course. I'll have more information on that probably at the next program or by email for you. Again, I won't be affiliated with that. I'm not affiliated. Did I mention that I'm not affiliated with BIC Study Club? I hope I did. So you know my recommendations are coming to you out of the belief that these can be valuable undertakings for you. So this particular fellow sent back the letter canceling the credit card account with a $25,000 accepted for value on the face and a brief letter that stated, please reopen the account or else I will issue a 1099 OID on this amount. And he received a call from a supervisor at the credit card company. apologizing for the mistake, and reopening the account. Now, you say, well, I need proof. That story, this is a bona fide true story, that story is as good as it's going to get, because that is an admission that the credit card banks understand full well the power of a 1099 OID. And of course, why would you even need that story to verify that? If a bank doesn't understand the significance of a 1099 OID, then who will? So I suggest that this could be valuable information for those facing the kinds of crass controversies that we get into nowadays through no fault of our own, like when PayPal freezes your account because they detect suspicious activity, because you had a good day in sales if you happen to be an eBayer, or some other nonsense like that. I've seen them freeze up accounts for a month at a time, and they treat you like garbage because they're owned by eBay, a company that has obviously confessed that you are garbage. And if you don't believe me, ask any eBayer. I hear them complaining at the post office, and I engage them in conversation all the time. What the changes eBay has made are the kinds of changes you would expect in a landlord-slave relationship, and they know it. So imagine if an account is frozen and a simple letter is, and that letter of freezing or the email is printed and accepted for value in a significant amount sent in with the same statement or a copy of the 1099 OID, and I'm going to file this thing in 3 days unless you unfreeze the account. We'll see whose money that is. I don't care about your deposit or agreement or any of that nonsense. Can you see the value of using that with a local bank or with Bank of America or eBay or anyone else? Also, it confirms that for the tenacious, you might be able to pay off the credit card directly if you don't want to wait for IRS. Now, I'm not suggesting you go out there and do that. I know it's been tried mostly unsuccessfully, but this was, I don't know how often it's been tried with turning the coupon into a money order and stapling the 1099 OID to it. We've done it with some 1040Vs, and I don't think that's been highly successful, but with the threat of a 1099 OID on the payment, because I would have no trouble doing that, because I know it's a payment. I know it's coming out of my my indemnity bonds that I've set aside for that purpose. But if you don't have that confidence, you wouldn't do it. But if you do, it might be, for the appropriate party or parties, an interesting approach. The only one who should undertake something like that is someone who's got lousy credit and doesn't care, or is about to give up the credit cards to become completely sovereign, or someone in a position like that. At the meeting, friends, I took an informal survey at various times during our discourse, and the results of that survey are consistent with the information I've just brought you and that I've been discussing on the air for the last few weeks. First of all, not one attendee and not one other person that I know has received a 1099 OID returned from any tax agency. And why would they? Every 1099 OID that IRS receives is a bona fide assignment of an account receivable, which is now being assigned to a foreign agency that's charged with collecting liabilities. Why on earth would they ever return a single one? I have seen returns of 1040 NRs. I've seen returns of various documents which were unsigned. I have not seen a return of a signed document. And I have not seen a single 1099 OID return, and not one hand in our audience could state that they had either. In addition, not one attendee has received a frivolous penalty on a ZYA filing. Not one. Many have received, at least to the best of my memory, many have received threats of a frivolous penalty sometime down the track. But since when does IRS not impose a penalty that it's entitled to? I remember whenever they would lose a 941 tax estimate or a withholding on employees, what would they do? They'd send out a penalty notice. They wouldn't say, we're going to penalize you. A threat is always almost always an intimidation tactic from someone who doesn't have the power to act. It's a confession of weakness. As far as I'm concerned, threaten me. I know I got you. I don't care how angry your face looks. So, how many listening tonight have received a frivolous penalty in the old days of zero returns? I have, probably a lot of you listening have, and probably with other techniques that involved argument. First thing they do is, Supreme Court has no relevance here. Oh, you want to give us a shift return with 15 Supreme Court citations? Fine. Frivolous, and you wondered, how can that be? Well, because it has nothing to do with the Supreme Court. It's in commerce being run by a foreign agency out of Puerto Rico. Not one on a 1099 OID done by ZYA. What does that tell you? So, you remember that letter that was being circulated on the internet a couple of weeks ago, that email by a gal who's been trying to resell a tax package for years now? She bought it on the internet and has sort of been trying to turn it into a multi-level marketing kind of deal. She's been trying to sell it to me for years. And it said, when you forwarded me, this was written from one party to another, from her to another, to one of our mentors, when you forwarded me the ZYA from Sam, again, that's a mistake, nothing is mine, it's yours, especially ZYA, because I didn't invent it. I would take credit for it if I had, but I wasn't that bright. I just thought the information should be put out. So when you forwarded me the ZYA from Sam, I jumped the gun and thought it was the recipe, but I went away on a trip to meet a fellow patriot and found out otherwise, that she had filed 130 OIDs of Sam's, and all of them came back frivolous with fines. Now, folks, first question is, how the hell can they be my OIDs? I didn't file them. I didn't even suggest they be used. I suggested that they be enjoyed, and people make individual decisions what they are comfortable with. And if you don't understand that the response to a ZYA filing could be a threat of a frivolous filing, and if you don't understand what to do with that threatening letter, then why would you go into that process, let alone with 130 OIDs? And the other question that begs the mind is, were 130 OIDs returned? And in fact, were they frivolous fines? And the obvious answer is no. Not one OID came back, I'm sure, and nothing that came back was a fine. It was a letter threatening a frivolous filing. And that's why when people play fast and loose with the language, it can be damaging to other parties. It can instill hysteria unnecessarily. I have not seen the response to that party who did the 130 OIDs, but I can guarantee to you, not one OID came back, and not one came back with a frivolous penalty. Now, maybe when IRS gets done listening to the program tonight, maybe they'll try that, to try and, cleave out the weakest of the wildebeests. But I doubt it, because it's just a test, and if one understands the theory and the foundation behind the ZYA process, then one understands that it's an opportunity to return those funds to the source by making it payable to Treasury, returning it with a 1099 OID in the current year, and also putting in the private mailing penalty, and then awaiting the refund. You see, folks, that's the difference. Some folks use technology only after they truly understand it, research it, and own it. And some, I've been guilty of this myself, and I don't mean this as a condemnation, but some jump in with 130 OIDs, and they do so being completely clueless that it's perfectly reasonable to expect some return mail from the tax agency. Wouldn't you, if you were the tax agency, send something back to test them? Because if they drop off, you get to keep the funds. So I would be careful when I read emails. Please, don't send me an email which has a statement like that and say, hey, Sam, What's your take on this? I don't have a take on it. You need a take on it before you send it to me, because otherwise you're showing me your abject ignorance. You're not doing me a favor putting that in my box. You're showing me that you don't understand what's going on. Now, if you sent it to me and said, hey, here's a copy of the email I sent this party correcting their opinion on it or asking them for verification of the frivolous penalty, that would be a different story. So anyway, that was a very effective to have all those people gathered so we can take that kind of an inventory and see the trends. One fellow who attended both of the last Law Merchant leadership retreats was very clever. This guy's taken my lecture notes, and basically he's put them in a PowerPoint presentation. It was really stunning, and he's serious about paying it forward and helping other people, and I give him credit. He had an interesting situation. He had a very large, let's call it a seven-figure lien filed in the county, a notice of lien filed in the county. And he had a couple of court summonses that he had previously dishonored prior to the April Law Merchant Retreat. And there were summonses, of course, inviting him in to show cause why the taxpayer should not be ordered to obey IRS's administrative summons to present books and records. Now, of course, IRS has no right to be contacting a living man unless you've contracted with them, which probably he did by way of a previous return. But if not, then they will assume a contract against the taxpayer because the taxpayer is a U.S. creation. So anyway, he had those two of those court summonses that were dishonored and the tax obligation. So that's three situations. He did he returned from the April meeting. This would be, I guess, sometime in late April, early May, and he did a ZYA process on the IRS obligation. And then he did two 1099A processes on the court summonses. And here's the result. Number one, lo and behold, a certificate of release of lien in this astronomical amount appeared at the county, and that is done. That ain't going back. So now the lien is gone. So now he can function. That in and of itself would have been worth the price of admission to ZYA, right? Secondly, both court cases simply disappeared. No warrants, no nothing. He's been checking. That's the end of it, because USDC understands that the case is settled. And thirdly, he was advised of a refund in that astronomical amount. However, the following day, it was withdrawn, and he was given that phone number to call and find out further information. So my suggestion is that while the refund is the appropriate thing to have happen, and there will be time to enforce those refunds, and you shouldn't start the ZYA process unless you're of mind to enforce those refund requests, it's relatively unimportant in the scheme of things. He is helping other people. That's the Lord's purpose. His lien was released, so he's not encumbered, and now he's on his way to higher knowledge, higher success, and hopefully a happier and more fulfilling and rewarding life. But as long as we're on the topic of summonses, why don't we just spend a moment? I know we reviewed this a couple weeks ago, I believe, but it's worth repeating and maybe getting a new slant on how one might handle the initial summons. Well, certainly argument technology comes to mind. I wouldn't recommend it. It's been tried. But it could be tried regarding the Form 56. An affidavit regarding the Form 56 and stating that those records, I deny that the records that are requested are in my possession, those records are in the possession of the fiduciary, which would be Henry Paulson, and or the agent could be named on a Form 56. And hence, I'm naming them as a third-party defendant in the case. Oh, I love it. I haven't dabbled much in the courts lately because I don't think it's worth our time. But if you're going to be in there answering and you didn't use the 1099A process, or you messed up the 1099A process by mixing it with another process that countered it, for instance, a commercial abatement which says, I'm not that stinking taxpayer, but I'll be happy to be there to request the refund or something of that sort, or to actually, I forget exactly what a commercial affidavit says, the last one I saw, but it's definitely a sovereign kind of approach, and you'll be there in sovereign capacity, but at the same time, you filed a 1099A into the case as an exhibit attached to a standard straw party affidavit, well then clearly you're a double-minded man, and you're not going to succeed in that venue, so you'll want to get out of it as quickly as possible. But one thing one could do, if one knew how to defend it, would be to name the secretary and any of the fiduciaries as third-party defendants. They need to produce the books and records. So every time they order you to produce the books and records, you say, would that be a response to my affidavit? Meaning, I don't have them, and he does. We'll be back to discuss that in just a moment, folks. Please don't go away.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, my friends. At the top of the hour, in just a few moments, I'll have a very important announcement, and so I encourage you to stay tuned, friends. We were talking about how one might handle the initial summons, and this idea just occurred to me. Those who are facing these summonses might want to consider this, but you would certainly want, if you're going to go ahead with a procedure that will set you off as being a patriot and bring the wrath of the judge down, then you want to know how to handle that judge. But if you do, one possibility is to appoint the fiduciaries who have been named on Form 56 as third-party defendants. So one would put a copy of the Form 56 in the case and file it in the case with probably some sort of petition in the nature of a motion to bring the third-party defendants forward to meet with the IRS agent. And the response to the court is, would that be a response to my affidavit? Has this court not been noticed that the records are in the possession of the fiduciary? Does this court have evidence, verified evidence on the record, that the records are, the books and records are not with the fiduciary? I'm ordering you to produce those books and records. So in other words, you're ordering me to produce that which I don't have? Is this some sort of conspiracy here? And at that point, one would have to know how to handle the judge. Because obviously, they issue orders sort of indiscriminately as a test to see what your experience factor is. In a situation like that, it would be clear that the judge is joining himself to the third-party defendants and ignoring the affidavit. If there is no affidavit verifying that those books and records are in one's possession, then there's nothing for the court to act upon other than in pure fraud, and that's usually pretty easy to stop. One could send in a letter to the U.S. attorney that attempted to prosecute this little fiction, stating that I will be happy to appear in my capacity with a copy to the court as creditor to the U.S. taxpayer with representative from the Secretary of State's office for the purpose of receiving your verified response to my affidavit, any evidence of firsthand knowledge that such records are in my possession, any evidence that the case is not settled, because all of that's in the affidavit, any defect in the commercial affidavits previously filed by the taxpayer, such as the ZYA process, and my refund, the return of the credit that you owe me, or show cause why the Secretary of State's representative should not certify that you are hoarding the funds for your own personal profit and gain. One might put in a petition in the nature of a motion to dismiss the case on the grounds that the prosecutor has failed to counter the affidavit on the pleadings. The prosecutor has failed to respond to the affidavit. It is now a matter of fact that those records are not in my possession by agreement of the parties. Some pretty simple stuff if you like to play around in that venue. I suggest that the 1099A method would be the simplest way of discharging that whole situation through set-off, as was done by the fellow that I mentioned who attended the retreat. So, folks, this concludes the first hour of the program. We'll have an important announcement after a one-minute station identification. Please join me after the break at the top of the hour.
Gold has